I'm Tanzina Vega, and welcome back to the Takeaways coverage of the midterm results. We now turn to the state of voting yesterday. There were reports of long lines, broken voting machines, and voting delays and other irregularities recorded in Georgia, Kansas, Texas, and other states with tight races. Some polling officials admitted to being unprepared for higher-than-average voter turnout, while malfunctions with new and old voting machines exacerbated long wait times. And during today's press conference, reporter April Ryan tried to ask President Trump about voter suppression efforts in Georgia.
Well, I will give you voter suppression. You just have to sit down, please. Sit down. I didn't call you. I'll give you voter suppression. Take a look at the CNN polls, how inaccurate they were. That's called voter suppression.
Brenda Wright is a senior advisor at Demos and an expert in electoral reform issues. Brenda, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So, Brenda, yesterday we saw tweets and social media and posts on Facebook with people talking about long lines, machines that didn't work. In one particular instance, there was a voting station in Georgia that didn't even have cords, you know, to connect the machines. Overall, what was your assessment of how voting went yesterday when it comes to suppressing the vote?
Well, we believe at Demos that democracy is at its best when everybody votes. And the good news, I guess, is that there was very high turnout overall. The bad news is that there were so many obstacles that voters had to overcome in order to make their voices heard. And in too many places, those obstacles really prevented people from being able to vote. We saw that in North Dakota, where Native Americans were turned away from the polls because they didn't have a residential address. They used a P.O. box instead. We saw, as you mentioned, incredibly long lines in Georgia. And some of the problems we saw were probably the result of bad planning and inadvertence and neglect. Other problems were the result of election administrators making very bad choices that put too many burdens on the voter.
So I want to dig into some of the bigger issues here, but let's pivot to Georgia for a second. What happened in Georgia? Do we know if any of these voter suppression tactics potentially could have affected the vote?
Well, we know that, as you mentioned, Gwinnett County has been sort of ground zero for some of the worst voter suppression tactics that we've seen in this election. We saw Gwinnett County trying to impose what they call an exact match requirement, so that if an election official thinks that your signature on your absentee ballot didn't exactly match the one that they have on file, they were going to throw your ballot out. Advocates had to go to court to get a court order to stop that practice. Gwinnett also was a place where there were a lot of malfunctions in the election machines and very long lines of people waiting hours and hours to vote.
We also saw on Sunday there were Brian Kemp, Georgia Secretary of State, did accuse the Democratic Party of election hacking with zero evidence that that happened. That's according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Is there anything to that accusation, or was that sort of nerves and last-minute pandering, if you will, to distract from what the outcome could have been?
Yeah, it seems like it was nothing but a huge distraction. There were concerns about whether hackers had tried to get into the system. And Democrats advised the Secretary of State, who was running for governor, of those concerns. And he turned around and decided to launch an investigation against the Democrats instead of investigating whether there had been an actual problem with their systems. And I think that the spotlight has been on Georgia so much in part because you have the situation of the person who makes the rules for the election being at the top of the ballot himself and having been caught on tape saying that he was concerned that too many people in Georgia were going to come out and exercise their right to vote and that wouldn't be good for his party. I think that's just a shameful example of failed leadership on election administration. We need people to be running the game in a fair way, and it's not a game. It's our democracy that's at stake here.
There were a couple of other issues around the country. I'll just read through them very briefly. There were reports of machines that didn't work, including here in New York City, New York State, California, and Arizona. There were reports of machines that were changing voters' choices in places like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and, of course, the tight race in Texas. There were voters in Houston who said they didn't speak English and they were not able to have interpreters join them, which is something that is allowed under the Voting Rights Act. And apparently in Maryland, there were precincts that ran out of paper ballots. That was something else we were hearing. Can you give us a sense of how, Brenda, first of all, how can a polling site run out of paper ballots? How are these issues sort of cropping up in places where we should have smoother voting processes?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a very important point. You can deprive people of the right to vote if you're trying to, and you can also deprive people of the right to vote just because of neglect and bad planning and inadvertence and not having enough supplies on hand, not having enough paper ballots. That should not be rocket science. It should be something that election administrators can figure out. And, you know, in most places in the country, election administrators do a great job, but the spotlight is always on the places where voters have such a struggle, such a difficult time in making their voices heard.
Could this be, could these incidents be any related to the gutting of the Voting Rights Act at all? Or is it just indicative of, you know, bad planning, as you said, and not enough resources?
Well, I think that it's really both. This is now the second federal election we've had without the protections of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which the Supreme Court struck down in 2013. And I think what we're seeing is that Justice Ginsburg was right when she wrote in her dissent that getting rid of the Voting Rights Act because discrimination has been reduced is like throwing out your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. And we've thrown out that umbrella, and unfortunately, voters all over the country are getting drenched.
And let's talk about the national picture here. There was a coalition of civil rights groups that reported that they received more than 29,000 complaints of voting irregularities as of 8 o'clock last night. Is that comparably better or worse than in the past?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head for comparison, but I know that in just about every election since the 2000 election, the coalition, the Election Protection Coalition, has been running these hotlines. And it's really unfortunate that year after year, election after election, they're still fielding thousands and thousands of calls from voters who are having trouble at their polling place. We should be able to do a better job. We can do a better job, and we must do a better job.
Brenda Wright is a senior advisor for legal strategies at Demos. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.